back here on Unsportsmanlike Conduct, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, The Zone mobile app, and of course, streaming video on 1620thezone.com and our YouTube channel, 1620 The Zone, the YouTube channel. And joining us on the 42 Degrees The Source hotline, from The Athletic, covering the Iowa Hawkeyes, the Big Ten, and college sports, Scott Docterman joining us. Scott, happy Friday. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, too. I hope all is well.
It is. It's doing fine. It's doing fine. Caden Proctor was Alabama Crimson Tide until he wasn't, then an Iowa Hawkeye until he wasn't, and now he's an Alabama Crimson Tide until he isn't for now. But this has been the weirdest ongoing saga, and maybe, I guess, a poster child for what has become of the transfer portal here the last couple of years. How has this story been received in Iowa?
Well, now it's largely been forgotten about. It's like a month old now, so yeah. It's ancient history. But, you know, he was the prodigal son for 6 weeks when he decided to enter the portal after Nick Saban retired, and he wanted to come back to Iowa. That was the only place he wanted to go. Turned out everybody else. He was here on campus within a couple of days and enrolled in classes, and they expedited everything, and then decides on spring break to go on spring break with a bunch of his former teammates and comes back to Iowa City and says, yeah, I think I want to go back to Alabama. And that was the day before spring practice started. And Iowa's collective directly didn't pay him, but a business that operates through the collective did. And so it's a mess when you look at it from the big picture of this is why people don't want why people need or expect some sort of change coming down the pipe here when it comes to NIL and collectives, because this is the type of thing that can run people raw. Because Iowa had a grassroots campaign to raise money because they knew that players like this were going to come on the way, and they raised the money. They did a good job, just like Nebraska did for Dylan Raiola. And here, when they leave after a couple of weeks, practically, then it just changes the whole dynamic of the situation.
Yeah, Scott, you know, this has been a very strange spring, given that there have been some multiple players that I have seen where it's like, you know, they played for one team in the fall, they transferred, and they had spring ball, and then they're transferring again. And so it's three semesters, three schools. And I wonder, I guess, if you think the Proctor experience is going to be like this dividing line or maybe a jumping off point moving forward, where as we look back on why change needed to come or when change started, maybe there was a groundswell of movement, that this could be the story that they tell, just given how odd, of all of the odd situations, this one might be the oddest.
I think this one becomes the poster example of why the NCAA wants some sort of protection, antitrust protection. I think it's probably why when the rules are changed that his example will be one of the first ones, because this has really been an odd situation, no question. I mean, throw Iowa out of it. I mean, for Alabama, I mean, yeah. You invest that much. He's a starting left tackle for you as a true freshman, and then all of a sudden he hits the portal, and then he comes back. And it wasn't just cut and dry that he was going to go back to Alabama, too. I mean, they made the Alabama side made clear that, hey, are you all in? And we're going to let the players decide if you're come back or not because you quit on us. But, when you mention other ones, I've seen several different situations, and this is going to be commonplace in the future where a quarterback, for instance, maybe hits the portal in December, signs with a team, goes through spring practice, and then, maybe it's a journeyman that's a decent player, but what happens if a freshman or sophomore emerges and is number one, and then all of a sudden, well, I'm going to go hit the portal again after that semester. And after a while, you're kind of wondering, are you going to get a degree? So I think it's a mess. It's something that'll probably continue, but I do think the Proctor situation will probably be example number one.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us here on Sportsmanlike Conduct. You know, there are a lot of coaches, a lot of people in college sports, especially those that have been around it for a very long time, have had a hard time coming to grips with the new world order of things. And certainly Kirk Ferentz is the most tenured head coach in all of major college football, you would anticipate. And, you know, just knowing how he has operated, especially in the recruiting atmosphere, you would think it'd be very difficult for him. Is he slowly coming to grips with this new world order?
Oh, he hopped in. He's all go. And he likes it. And he was, tepid in the beginning, like I think a lot of coaches were. But one thing that he discovered that he liked the most, frankly, was that he's dealing with, in a lot of cases, older players who know exactly what they want. And they're 20, 21, 22-year-olds, and they come in, and they don't need the bling. They don't need to have the photo shoots and everything and the jersey picks. I mean, all they want to do is, okay, where do I fit in, and how do I get there? And in a lot of cases, it's NIL money. So he's sold on that. And Iowa's done pretty well on the football side of things. Surprisingly, basketball has been a much more difficult climb for Iowa because Fran McCaffrey has been very vocal that he doesn't like the fact that you have the transfer portal being free agency to go alongside the NIL. But they've had more difficulty probably raising money than the football side has, because I think more fans have put their eggs in that pot. And same thing with women's basketball as of late.
Scott, do you think the bigger frustration, whether it's within Iowa or other schools that you hear things about, is the frustration more the ability for players to leave, not even after a full year, but after not even a semester's worth of work? Or is it the way that the calendar sets up? I know that there are frustrations with each of those things. Which is the one that is giving them a bigger headache right now?
That's a good question. I think the calendar does, because right now what I know from talking to a lot of coaches are that the burnout is real. And there is a sizable exodus towards the NFL, because the recruiting's always been kind of a necessary evil. But now with recruiting, with the portal going on, at the same time as recruiting for, younger players and getting your team ready, it's just going to crash. And I think we're going to see that example this fall. I mean, they moved up to the freshman signing day and the week between the season finale and conference championship Saturday, which is just insane in my eyes. And then you throw that on with playoff games in the middle of December, concurrently with the portal being open. And what are these coaches supposed to do? I mean, you're talking about the pinnacle of a season. Bowl games are one thing, but when you're talking about playoff games and you're trying to figure out who's, a conference championship could determine whether you get there or not. It means something. And then you got to figure out, all right, am I going to sign this kid on Tuesday or Wednesday instead of preparing for him? That's the calendar is what people are really upset about. And I think what we'll see, and it wouldn't be surprise me if in time for next year, I mean, the 2025 season, is some sort of an early signing day, like early August, and then maybe the late one. And then the only signing in December will be those who are enrolling early, because I just do not see this working out for anybody. And because they're already insane when it comes to work hours, and this is just going to drive them all crazy.
Scott Doctorman of The Athletic joining us on the 42 Degrees of the Source Hotline. Going to the on-the-field stuff, how much can Tim Lester, the new offensive coordinator, make progress with his new Iowa offense this spring when his starting quarterback is still recovering from an ACL injury?
That's the biggest question, and one we asked him yesterday. And one of the things that he's done that I think makes the most sense is that he hasn't adjusted at all his offense based on who is the quarterback. He's basically running it as if Cade McNamara was in there, or another quarterback in the portal, if they get one, is in there. Because Deacon Hill is the one operating first team snaps right now. They only have two scholarship quarterbacks in camp, and so they're more worried about getting the other 10 players ready than they are about the quarterback. So they're running plays that there's no way Deacon's going to be able to run, even if he accidentally has to play. So they're running it as if Cade McNamara was in there. So it's all about getting the line ready, the receivers, running backs, and what have you, not as much about worrying about Deacon Hill. So that's really how it's going to be. And tomorrow we get our big glimpse of them. I don't expect anything magnificent out of the passing game because of this. I saw enough Deacon Hill last year. but I think that you'll see I'd like to see some runs that maybe be a little bit different, that maybe help Tim Lester's offense move forward.
Hey, Scott, what's the vibe of Iowa fans right now? You know, like, we've had you on so many times over the last few years, and I know that we had you on at some point last season just talking about how wild it was that the Brian Ferentz story, I mean, it really became a national college football story. You were talking about it on the Until Saturday a lot with Ari and David Ubben. It really kind of cut through a lot of the noise of the season. What's the vibe now of the fan bases? That's kind of behind everybody, but of course the head man is still in charge. And the Big Ten West is now no more.
I would say that the fan base is a little more relaxed now, and maybe that's just because it was such an intense run through the women's basketball tournament that mm-hmm. they really now are kind of coming off of that, and Caitlin Clark and everything, that it's like, oh yeah, there's football. It hasn't been the intensity and vitriol that normally we would have with Brian Ferentz, or we had any of the weeks that he's been there the last 3 to 4 years. It's been, I think the critical mass has been, all right, let's wait and see. There's been a lot of knee-jerk reaction that Deacon Hill's running with the ones, and we have to caution them, just don't jump off the ledge. Cade McNamara is number one. They only have two quarterbacks in there. The only reason why he's really in there right now is because his progressions are a little higher than redshirt freshman Marco Linez. So that's the main reason. But other than people getting agitated with seeing Deacon as the number one, I think for the most part, most people are just, you know, pretty zen about it.
Scott, you mentioned Caitlin Clark a moment ago, obviously a phenomenon unlike we've seen in a very long time. What did she mean for Iowa athletics in general? And can she continue to raise the profile as she embarks on her pro career?
Iowa's had some really good athletes in recent years. They've had national players of the year in men's yep. and women's basketball, of course, wrestling, and then 10 first-team All-Americans in the last 10 years in football, and four of them won national awards, but none of them have even approached what Caitlin Clark has done or meant to this program. I mean, you know, the way she's changed an entire sport, and you look at the ratings and everything, and it's just out of this world. So, I mean, it's not hyperbole to put her on a place where she's not only on the Mount Rushmore of Iowa athletes, but you could make a very strong case she's number one of all time. And that's, you know, that's something I don't say lightly. But, you know, and what she could do at the next level is, I think she could do a lot what she's doing, what she did with college women's basketball. I mean, you look at the draft and you look at the amount of money spent right now and Indiana Fever tickets, you go to the secondary market, it's higher than what it was for a lot of Iowa games this year. And so people want to see her play. And what if she could do the same thing at the Indiana Fever, it's really, yeah, I think absolutely. She brings in a crowd, she does, makes it exciting, and she can elevate that league from being kind of an afterthought where, yeah, I'll pay attention, or maybe I will if I need to, but to now it might be must-see TV at a time of year where the only other really competitive sport that's going on is baseball. So I think it's got a chance to really enter the conversation and stay there. And she's the main reason for that, because she's charismatic. She's got, you know, just handles herself really well. And then of course you look at the product on the floor. There's very few players like her.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic, read his fine work, including today's story, which involves name, image, likeness, and how it may have impacted fewer underclassmen to declare for the NFL draft. The numbers are as low as they've been in a decade. It's mm-hmm. really good stuff from Scott Docterman. Scott, we always appreciate the visit. Appreciate the time. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Docterman joining us on the 42 Degrees of Source hotline. I mean, he's right. There's been a lot of, you know, celebrities to come out of Iowa. Obviously, one of the more out there personalities in the NFL is George Kittle.
Oh, former stinky George.
But
he likes to watch disc golf.
It's not my kind of guy.
He posted a picture with Anthony Barella the other day.
I don't know what that means, but
disc golf pro. He's cool. Winning trophies.
They're pros.
He's also, yes. He was also at WrestleMania.
Very cool. You guys keep saying cool things. Who are some of these other stars that you were about to mention?
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, but she is a whole different level. And it does make you wonder.
Yeah.
Somebody like that, if it continues to raise the profile across all of Iowa sports, because, you know, this isn't, you know, North Carolina was always North Carolina. MJ, greatest.
They finally just won a title, right?
Right. But, you know, it's a little bit different at a place, you know, like Nebraska, like Iowa. You know, we kind of look that same way at an Ndamukong Suh, you know, players like that who are just really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so unusual because we've never seen it before. And it could usher in an entirely new era of how we watch sports and which sports we watch.
Yeah.
And so it does make you wonder how much of that can be impacted in recruiting in a variety of sports beyond just women's basketball.
Yeah.
Because
how does that show up?
She has made Iowa cool too.
It's the idea of sports being the front porch. And normally we talk about that from a football perspective, right? Nebraska football is the front porch of the university, Alabama football. But at some schools, Duke, North Carolina, for example, both of those spots, basketball is the front porch of the university.
Mm-hmm.
Like I still will think of Iowa as a football school, but yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what happens with them moving forward and if they're able to capitalize this and really go after the best players. Or was that just a once in a lifetime type opportunity because she was from the state and they were able to get her?
The internet must not be working very well in Philadelphia. They've been stuck in the fourth inning for a while, but Creighton leads Villanova 2-0.
Or they were leading them 2-0.
We have no idea because the internet's not working very well there. They basically play at a glorified high school. So.
Oh, that's not good. Wait, what did you say? What inning did you say?
Fourth.
On the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, the Creighton baseball account has tweeted that they're in the top of the fifth, and it's 2-0.
Okay.
So
they're an inning behind on
top
the,
of the that. Yeah, the number is wrong, but the score is correct.
Or maybe someone doesn't know how to use the stat broadcast monitor.
That could. Are you calling out Glenn Sisk again?
No, Glenn's not there. Glenn's not running it.
Okay.
It's not his game. It's
all right. I just wanted to confirm.
And the Cubs are winning.
Oh, are they? Wow, that is so cool.
Congrats on beating the Marlins.
Wow.
Hey,
it's like beating the Rockies,
which he also did.
We just play who's in front of us. That's all we can do.
Oh, interesting. My team plays in front of the teams in front of them, and it's, wow, you play FCS schedule. Your team plays the teams in front of them, and it's Major League Baseball. They're all paid the same.
Well, they are.
Interesting.
Unless you're Shohei.
He'll be paid for millions of years.
Cubs whooped that ass, too.
They did. What's going on with the Dodgers? Do we need to press the panic button? 402-951-1620.
I think they're still in first place.
Are they really?
You know what? I'm going to say the Dodgers bust.
Wow. Great take, Nick. I know someone who will agree with you on that one.
Wonderful take. Wonderful, wonderful take.
Is Mookie Betts not a good shortstop?
Nice. Good question.
402-951-1620. Still to come, could the NBA be the league to take the first big jump? Some details on that coming up. Also, Kent's Movie Club, Dumb Money. Dumb Money in this week's Movie Club. So stand by for that and more. Great times, good oldies on 1620 The Zone.
Nick Grimm for Circus Sports Iowa. It's the weekend, which means it's time to focus on the best sports, baseball and Formula One. Let's start with baseball. Circuit has lines for every game of the weekend and fun props. Just tonight, the A's are plus 145 against the Guardians, but the A's have also been kind of sneaky good so far this season. And then jumping to Sunday, you have, of course, Formula One. They're going to be racing in China. If you want to play it safe, Max Verstappen is at a minus 480, but he also has been having some issues and hasn't been winning every single race. So maybe instead you like Lando Norris a little better to win his first race. That's plus 3,500. Anything can happen in racing. That's what I always say. With tight money line splits, not keeping as much on large market bets, and never limiting your account for winning, Circus Sports Iowa is the app for you if you want a serious sports book. Also, and I know I bring it up a lot, but it is one of my favorite things, their customer support. It's insane how many places that just exist nowadays that use AI or chatbots to try to maybe solve your problem. Not Circus Sports Iowa, it's real-life human beings. They are serious about giving you all the hospitality of Las Vegas in the palm of your hand anywhere in the state of Iowa. Shoot them an email, shoot them a tweet, and a real human being will help you get things sorted out. Download the Circus Sports Iowa app today. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.